you've come to this happy podcast, welcome. I'm Mike Bongiorno. This is PCMC. This is a podcast about pop culture, media, TV shows, movies, video games, toys. I'm here today at the Art of Animation Hotel in one of the Little Mermaid rooms here in Orlando, Florida at Walt Disney World. And I'm with Jen Latrell.
Hi.
Jen, how are you?
I'm good.
Jen, today we're going to talk about Hollywood Studios.
Something really exciting happened. We'll tell you later.
Very exciting happened for Jen. Actually, you know what? Forget that. Don't get your hopes up, audience.
All right. I said...
They're going to get their hopes way too up.
Okay, well, something exciting happened for me exclusively.
Yeah, for Jen. It was kind of exciting for me.
Whatever.
We met like a... We'll just say we met a podcaster.
Yeah.
Who's like a celebrity to people who listen to them. And it's a pretty big podcast. It's not like Mark Manor or anything. Anyway.
All right.
We had a lot of fun encounters that day.
We did.
So we went to Hollywood Studios. And so the new big e-ticket attraction is Star Wars Rise of Resistance.
Yes.
And you can't get online for it and you can't fast pass it.
Right.
You have to come and be in the park.
As soon as it opens.
And they let you in technically before it opens. So you have to be on the property. And then through the My Disney app, you have to try to get in a boarding group. And when your boarding group is called, you have 2 hours to go to the ride. And then even when you get there, you have to wait on, it was like an hour queue? It wasn't that long a queue.
Yeah, about.
Yeah. But then you get to experience this crazy ride that everyone's talking about.
Right.
So,
attraction. I would say more attraction because, like, part of the queue is part of the experience.
Yes, it's a long experience.
Like, the actual ride where you're sitting down isn't that long. But
yeah.
I'll
give you a spoiler alert now. We'll talk about the ride. If you don't want to know anything about it before you experience
it,
I'll let you know when we're going to talk about it. But anyway, we got there in the morning, and you know, it technically opens at 8. So at like 7:58, everyone's got their phone out, refreshing the app.
And there's announcements being made over the loudspeakers.
Yeah.
That it's like 5 minutes until you can, I don't know.
And it sells out instantly.
Right.
Literally, it's for the whole day. Right. Literally, you have a couple seconds to get in a boarding group, and if you don't, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And then there'll be signs posted everywhere, like, sorry, our boarding groups are...
Right.
Or whatever today. So, 8 o'clock happens. Me and Jen are both doing it so we could double our chances. My phone, of course, fucking freezes. So, I'm like, you hear... It's just uproarious. You hear some people screaming in delight.
Yeah.
You hear some people sighing and being upset. Mm. And what's crazy is like it's all milliseconds. Like we got one and we were in group 71. Someone else
74.
Got 74, right?
Right.
Then someone else on, because we were online to get coffee, someone else online got like 30 something.
Right.
And it's like, what was like a millisecond different from you?
Yeah, we got it while we were online to get coffee.
Yeah. So we were in 74, and the app even tells you anything over 71, you might not get on.
Right.
It's not guaranteed because, you know, because it's a new ride and sometimes things break down.
Right.
So we were like, okay, you know, we kept checking the app because the app will tell you what number they're up to. So we kept checking the app to make sure that the number was going up and it was all going along. And we were going to get on the ride. Plus, we had reservations. We had fast passes.
Right.
We had a whole day planned besides that.
Right.
So we were like, oh, I hope this doesn't make us have to cancel other things.
Right.
So we got in. We were excited. Before we go into Galaxy's Edge, we just go on Star Tours three times.
So we got on.
Yeah.
Because we're there. We're rope dropping.
Uh-huh.
Which is the second day that we rope dropped because...
We went hard.
Right. The first 2 days, we went hard. So...
We beat this park like it owed us money.
Yep. So, there wasn't really a line for Star Tours and we had time before our Fast Pass. So, I was like, let's just do it. Let's just get on the regular line and do it.
And it was like, 15 minutes or whatever?
Yeah. It was super fast.
Yeah. And then we...
And it was amazing.
Then we did our Fast Pass, right?
And then we did our Fast Pass, yeah. And then we I don't know what.
Then I think we waited again because it was also still short.
Right. So, like, it's a different experience every time.
Yes.
And it's a different ending every time. And, where you land.
Yeah.
And the last one, we landed in Batuu.
Which is Galaxy's Edge.
Right. And then we were going to Galaxy's Edge. And I was like, it worked out perfectly. It's perfect.
Yeah, the last one was the best one. Because the last one, the best Star Wars movie, Last Jedi.
Right. I
fucking said it. Actually, it's not the best Star Wars movie. It's the second best or third. So, you go to Crete from Last Jedi. Anyway, it was cool because Oscar Isaac's in it, and like that version of the ride has a lot of the contemporary actors in it.
Right.
So it was very cool. I had a dismaying thing, which was the first time we went on. It was early, and I just had my coffee, and I was a little bit nauseated, and I was like, "Oh no!" Like, I got worried. Like, "Oh fuck, is this what's gonna happen?"
Mm-hmm.
But then I had some natural Dramamine, non-drowsy Dramamine. So I took that, and then I drank a lot of water. I actually think drinking the water helped more than anything, because I think a lot of times, like, when I get dizzy, it's because I'm dehydrated or I'm nervous and my neck gets tight or whatever.
Right.
So we went on it two more times and I felt okay. And then we went into Batuu. And God, how do you describe it? It's the most immersive thing Disney's ever done. Right.
And you start off, so when you go into the main, because there's two ways to go into it. One is the main entrance, which is, like, leads you from your land and into like a Star Wars land.
It's like a perfect like
transition,
right? Like it's a tunnel,
right?
And you walk through it, and when you walk out of it, you're in Star Wars,
right?
And you really feel like you're in Star Wars,
right?
There's droids doing things,
right?
Every once in a while, you'll hear a sound that sounds like a ship overhead,
right?
It's
so immersive.
It's honestly, it's incredible. It's like you're everywhere you look is something to look at. It is Star Wars.
Right. And like classic Disney, like the sight lines are you can't see anything. The only thing that takes you out of it is the second entrance, which is right by Toy Story Land.
Right.
And you like go, you know, to the edge of Galaxy's Edge there, and you just see a giant Buzz Lightyear.
And it's like, this is not right.
But, I mean, he is a space ranger.
Right, that's so true.
So, not the worst.
No. And what takes you out of it really more than anything is other human beings.
Right.
Like, you see other people wearing normal clothes.
Yeah.
If it weren't for that, you'd be like, I'm in Star Wars.
Someone was wearing Navi ears and a tail.
The dirty looks that guy got.
The disrespect.
We were online for something, and literally everyone online looked at this guy like he was as if he had a shirt with the N-word on it.
Right.
People were like, "You fucking scumbag!"
The disrespect.
With your fucking Navi ears, go fuck yourself.
You're in the wrong park, sir.
Hey, you're in the wrong neighborhood. Why don't you bring that shit back to Animal Kingdom?
Yep.
So the first thing we did was Savi's workshop, which is the lightsaber experience.
It's just it's magic.
I cried
magic.
Twice.
Right. And you were asking about when I went to Universal and I went to the
Ollivander's.
Right, the wand.
Yeah, cuz I was like, is this anything like that?
No. No. Because at Ollivander's, one person gets the experience that you get at Savi's, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But this was just... And
How many are? Like 10, maybe? You're in a little room.
Yeah, I would say 15 at most.
Yeah. You're in a little room. The cast member, by the way, who played Savi...
Oh, my God.
Incredible. This guy was incredible.
Yeah.
And he had his lines down. He had the timing down because there's a score. So as he's talking, the music is fitting what he's saying. And he was able to like speak to Jen and answer questions in character. He was just fantastic.
Right. So I was right next to him.
Right, right. And you kept asking questions.
I did.
And,
I just kept reacting.
Right, right. Yeah, you were super into it. And so was I.
Yeah.
And so you walk in and there's a big table and there's a bunch of like little desks that you make your lightsaber at, and before you go on you have to pick a type of lightsaber.
Right.
Like I picked elemental, which means the parts that they gave me were all like, they looked like from nature, like wood and bone and stuff.
Right.
You picked
peace and justice, but I don't remember what it meant.
It basically was like Jedi. It looked like more traditional, like
right.
lightsabers that you think of from the original trilogy.
Right.
And then they go around and they let you pick your crystal.
He goes through the whole thing.
It was like a religious experience.
Right. He goes through the whole thing about lightsabers and the history. And then, like, he talks about what each one means. And, like, with each color that he describes their meaning of the of the crystals, like, he'll wave the crystal. And then the lights on the ceiling will change that color.
Right. So when he's talking about the blue crystal,
right.
the room gets a blue right. tone. When he's talking about green, it gets a green right. tone.
And then when Yoda comes on to like speak, that has a green tone.
Right, right. Yeah. So the first time I cried, he's talking about the blue crystal and he starts talking about Luke and he's like, the legend of Luke Skywalker.
Right. And he holds and you it hear up.
And the music changed in here. And I'm crying.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I've never been so moved.
Yeah.
And then so the other part that Jen just talked about, which made me cry, is as you're about to make your lightsabers, the room turns green and you hear Yoda's voice and the actors are like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like they don't know what's happening. And it's Frank Oz and he's like, he's speaking to us from beyond and he's like, what does he say? He says something like, basically, you're taking your step towards the Force or whatever.
Yeah.
And again, tears are rolling down my face.
And then they ask you to close your eyes and to feel the Force and to feel what, what's it called? What Stone calls to you.
Oh, the Kyber crystal.
That's it, the crystal, I'm sorry. And while you're closing your eyes, because I opened it a little, because I was a little freaked out, because there was too many people around me and my eyes were closed.
Yeah.
Even though it's just, you know, it's going to hurt me. But my brain doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So, and then that's when the cast members, like, walk in, and they have the crystals right in front of you. So by the time you open your eyes, you just, like, have all these lit up crystals in front of you.
That you choose.
It's just, it's beautiful. If you want to go in and get an amazing experience and cry a little.
Yeah. And it's $200, but it's worth it because you get a performance.
Right.
And the lightsaber is better than anyone you can buy.
Yeah,
it's like heavy as fuck.
Yeah,
it's like
that sucker's heavy.
It feels real. Like you really pick metal parts and put them together.
And the way they put it together, like the way they put the actual blade on.
Right, because you're kind of the whole time wondering, how are they going to put the blade on?
Yeah, how is this going to be magical?
How are they not going to break the theming?
Right.
Because obviously you have to put on
the
fake blade.
Right.
Like, how do you do it? But they figured out a good way to do it.
And even that was just, like, emotional.
Right, because there's a place in the desk where you can, where you're making your thing, where the assistant who's helping you puts your handle into it. And really what they're doing is they're attaching it to the blade. But they're like, now we're going to, whatever, use the Force. And then, like, that part of the desk lights up the color of your thing.
And then it opens.
Then it opens and there's your lightsaber ignited.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful experience.
It's really amazing. Cut to the fucking droid maker experience.
Oh, my God.
Which was honestly,
we could have skipped it.
I really wish we had. It's a D+. It's the worst part of Galaxy's Edge. It is by far the worst part.
It's stressful.
It couldn't be more different from the lightsaber experience.
Oh, yeah. And both are expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, the lightsabers are more expensive, but
it's
like,
worth every penny.
The droids were like $100 each.
Yeah, it's expensive and it feels like you're in a fucking cafeteria.
Right.
It's whereas Savi's is like this beautiful like little show. It's this beautiful little room
and
that's
everyone's
quiet
helping
and peaceful.
You. Right.
In this, it's basically a fucking toy store.
Right.
And in the back of it is the droid experience.
Yeah.
And you fucking do it and then you pick either an R2 droid or a BB droid.
But even when you're picking your, like, I mean, yes, you pick your droid, but then when you get to the like conveyor belt,
where
you pick out your parts for your droid, like they're just like, I don't know what I was expecting. Like they're, I guess, because we just came out of Savi's, and that was like metal, and it felt so real, it felt like you were actually crafting something,
right.
And this was just like, oh,
I'm putting together
a plastic.
I'm putting a toy together. And like it's coming on a conveyor belt, but there's really not that many choices.
Right, there's not.
There's like three choices, basically.
Right.
Yeah. So you kind of like, I guess I'm going to pick this. You pick it up first, and you put it in a little basket. And then you don't even go to make it. Then you stand on a line with your fucking basket.
Yeah, and in a loud store.
Yeah, and it's loud and annoying, and it's like,
I know,
nothing about it is magical. And you're like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
And then finally they bring you over to that desk. And they're like, here's how you do it. And then you fucking, you just make your toy. And and then they're already trying to sell you things. They're like, yes, this is the regular version, but if you want it to have a personality, you can buy this fucking chip. And it's like, you know what? Fuck you with the chip.
And I thought about it for a little bit, because like, you could get the chips, like, they say, like, it tells their loyalty. So like, if a stormtrooper goes by and your droid is loyal to the resistance, it'll be scared of it or whatever.
Right.
But then you go outside and you realize that there's only one tiny little place where you can actually play with your droids in the land. So
it's not a bad toy.
No, the toy is cool,
but it's not worth $100 for the whatever bullshit experience it was.
I also wish we have both, so I kind of wish we had done the droids first, so our expectations weren't so high.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Because
yeah,
I don't know what I was expecting with the droids after coming out of the lightsaber building.
Yeah, but then the most amazing fucking thing happened after we walked out, which is Kylo Ren was there.
Yeah,
he was walking around and he had stormtroopers with him. So as he walks by me, I boo him.
Yep.
And then he keeps walking, and I go, "Yeah, that's right, keep walking." Mm. And then, who stops him? The stormtrooper?
The stormtrooper turned. You didn't notice because you thought nothing was going to happen.
Yeah, I was like, all right, he ignored me.
And then a stormtrooper turns around, and that's when I tapped you. And then by the time I tapped you,
Kylo Ren
had turned around. Yeah.
Yeah. Kylo Ren walks up to my face. And so I just, you know, I just stand there in his face, and it's like, what? What are you going to do? And he fucking elbows me in the chest.
Yeah.
Like, really does. Like, it was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it hurt.
Yeah.
Like, talk about, like,
immersion?
Talk about immersion. Yeah, no. Talk about dedication to the theme.
Yeah.
He fucking struck me.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's funny is he struck me, and then he walked by and he said something like, you're very bold for a civilian. And some people laughed, but then, like, guys were coming up to me and, like, pounding me and high-fiving me, like, good for you. It was like, it was crazy. And I was like, holy shit, Kylo Ren just fucking hit me.
Yeah, yeah. But then I said that cast member's probably freaking out because,
like, oh my God, I hit somebody.
this is the end of my career as Kylo Ren.
I know, Disney's going to fire me. But meanwhile, no, I was so excited.
We were thrilled.
I was like, oh my God, he hit me. Kylo Ren hit me. And then, while that's happening, oh, so then right after that, we go to buy the Cokes because they have the little Coke bottles that look like Star Wars-y.
Yeah.
I see Rey, like, kind of hiding behind something. And I do the thing where, like, you point to your eyes and then point to her, like, I can see you. And then she gets nervous and, like, she, like, steps back into the doorway, like, I guess because she thinks... Because the whole idea is that, like, you've got the stormtroopers and Kylo Ren around, and she's sneaking around as she's like a spy. So she's sneaking around trying to not get caught. Mm-hmm. So I guess the way that I did it, she thought that I was playing like I'm a bad guy.
Right.
Because it's all play. But and let me say, no offense to the beautiful Jen Luttrell, the woman who played Rey, absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, looked and sounded like Daisy Ridley. And was really cool. So it was just a crazy, it was just such crazy, like, 1-2-3 punch. It was like, you make your fucking lightsabers, that's amazing. Yeah. Then you have the shitty experience with the droids. Then fucking you mouth off to Kylo Ren. Then he fucking hits you.
Right.
Then you scare Rey.
Right.
And you wanted to see Rey so badly. I just saw Rey.
Oh, I was so mad.
I was like, I saw Rey, but I think I scared her.
I was so... Because The Force Awakens was, like, my first, like, real... Like, that's what made me love Star Wars.
Right.
Because I'd seen the others, but I didn't grow up with them. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, these are cool. I'm into it. And then I saw The Force Awakens, and I was like, this is it. Right. Now I have to go back and, like, really enjoy everything because I love this movie.
Right, and you love Rey.
And I love Rey. I love Rey. Like, I love everything about her.
Right.
I love the
You even did your hair in kind of Rey-inspired braids for Galaxy's Edge. Yeah, it was... I kind of scared her away.
But that's all right. We got more of her.
kind of
a little bit later.
Yeah, later on, like towards the end of the night, I was like, she walked by us and I was like, Ray, can she take a picture with you? And she was like, I'm on a mission.
Yeah, she doesn't really kinda stop.
She brushed us off.
Yeah, she can't really stop for pictures.
I guess because if you stop for too long,
then other people gather.
Right. And also, I guess she's supposed to just talk to kids.
Right.
But I gotta say, my feelings were hurt. I was like, she fucking just brushed us off. Like, it's cool for Kylo Ren to be a dick to me, but not you, Ray.
Yeah.
But anyway, what else did we do?
And then
we ate at Docking Bay 7.
We did.
Which you didn't like what you got. It was a quick service place. I loved what I got. It was like this meatless meatball thing, and like, you know, they make it look futuristic or whatever. I thought it was fucking amazing.
No, I got chicken on like mashed potato. Mashed potatoes with like, I don't know what the green stuff at the bottom was. It was like some kind of sauce. And I think
it was kind of like limey. It wasn't that good. Right. Well, you got.
I think that was the only thing that I didn't. I really liked the chicken, but also, I'm not a huge fan of my food touching.
Yeah.
But I can kind of handle it if it's not piled. And like this, the chicken was on top of the potatoes, and then the sauce was filling everything. So there was no like clean spot.
Yeah.
For me to, But the chicken that I could, get into me was pretty good.
And then we go to the little marketplace area, and Jen, there's like a little clothing store, and Jen sees this little shirt that looks kind of like inspired by Ray's outfit.
Right. And I'm like trying to decide if I should buy it or not.
Yes.
And then you turn to me.
Right. All right. So me and Jen are big fans of this podcast, The Diz.
Right.
And The Diz also is these web boards. Right. It's like if you're a Disney fan, you know the
Diz. You go to the Diz, right? Like people get their news from the Diz.
Right. And one of the hosts of that show is Rhino Clavin.
Yes.
And he also hosts another podcast called The Best and Worst of Walt Disney World.
Which is by the Diz.
Right.
So like
it's like a whole network.
Right.
And it's all funded by the people who do the Diz also have a travel agency.
Right, Dreams Unlimited.
Right. So and when we were getting ready, well, Jen's been listening for years.
Yes. And watching, because they have a YouTube channel, and whatever they record on the channel, like the audio just goes into their podcast.
Right.
So like sometimes if you listen to their podcast, like they're going to be making references to like
visual things.
Right, that you can't, which right. I, whatever. But yeah.
And I just started listening to it, but I liked it. So I see someone near Jen that looks familiar, and I'm like, oh, I think that's Rhino from the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And he's my favorite. He's been my favorite.
And I'm like, all right, he looks like him, but maybe not. Let me wait to hear his voice. And then I hear his voice, and I'm like, that's definitely him. So then I lean into you, and I whisper in your ear.
Yeah.
I go, that's like, Rhino.
And he's so close.
And
he's
literally right next to you.
If I had stumbled, I would have bumped into him.
Right. And the look on your face was like, as if I just said, that's Tom Hanks. You were so starstruck.
I love him. I don't even remember what our conversation was.
Right.
My lips were really chapped, so I know I was licking my lips a lot, and I was like, yo, he probably thinks I'm a big lipping weirdo.
You said to me, what do we do?
I know, because I didn't.
You're like, what do we do? I made first contact.
Because I couldn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do.
He was talking to his friends, and like a dick, I just kind of shouted him, hey, man, we love your podcast.
Yeah.
His friends walk away kind of annoyed, but who cares? He was so nice to us.
So sweet.
And he was like, you know, he's a podcaster, so like, he's a normal person, but to us, we're like, oh, you're in our ears all the time.
Right.
It's like we know you. That's how podcasting is. And he was just like, oh, thank you. So he was so thankful and gracious to
especially
us.
Especially because the show that he hosts is The Best and Worst. So like, you know, it's The Best and Worst of Walt Disney. So when he comments something is the worst, you know, people tweet him.
Disney fans get angry at him.
Right, and they get so mad at him.
Right.
And he was just like, it's so nice to hear that people love it.
Yeah,
Because it's so stressful.
Yeah, and he was just so nice. He was like, where are you from? Did you do Rise of Resistance yet?
Like, he's still, like, we were ready to just give him an out whenever he was ready.
Right.
But he kept the conversation going, and I was just like, so we're best friends now? Is that what I can call you?
It was super nice.
It was amazing.
And then immediately after that, like we're still, Jen is still reeling from that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I enjoy, I had a, I was, it was fun for me to see him. But Jen, it was an experience.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, literally, that's happening, and our boarding number comes called, up. And yeah. It's like, shit, we're going to go on Rise Resistance
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Which is itself super exciting.
Yeah.
So we go on that. Maybe we shouldn't describe it too much. I'll say spoiler alert, but I'm not going to get too into detail for it. Plus, you could watch ride videos and stuff.
Right.
It's a whole experience. It's really...
Right.
If you think of, like, the point of Disney Imagineering is to tell you a narrative, it's truly a narrative with a beginning, a middle, and end.
Yes.
Characters, suspense.
Yes.
Two different kind of ride systems.
Yes.
Like, you go... The ride begins, and you're on one kind of ride system, which is kind of like... Kind of like Star Tours. But you're standing, like, so it's
intense.
Not done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, you're not sitting, but you're standing.
You feel motion.
Right. You're in a ship that gets captured by the First Order.
Right.
And then the First Order comes into the... And you feel that ship moving.
Yeah.
So it's like the ride feels like it's begun.
Yeah.
And then the First Order comes in and is like, now you're all under arrest.
Yeah.
And then you get pulled back into other queues. It's like, shit, the queue is really still happening.
Yeah.
The main rise has been happening. It's really...
But it's the full experience.
Right. Like, Disney always tries to make the queue somewhat interactive so you don't feel like you're on a line.
But this, you really don't feel
this, like you really don't feel like you're on a line. This, you really feel like this from start to finish is a narrative experience.
Mm-hmm. And the cast members... are fantastic.
Yes, they're so good. The guys who played the First Order soldiers were like making fun of people and bullying people.
There was just one guy that was like a sweet old man.
Yeah, he was a sweet old man.
He was still playing.
He was still playing, but he was like too nice.
But your sweet old man face tells me different.
Yeah, there was one kid who was like making. He was really funny. He was like making fun of people, like, because some little kid was like, screw you or whatever, and he was like, really?
Oh yeah, he was like, I have a lightsaber, and he was like, show me, and the kid didn't have it on him, and he was like, it's funny how I can't see it.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And you know, you go from like one room to another,
right?
Like, you kind of go back and forth. Like, first you're with the good guys, then the bad guys arrest you, then the good guys break you out, and then the scale of it. Oh my God. You go outside at one point and you feel like you're really, and while you go outside and you feel like you're really like part of the world, and this is when you're with the good guys, they want you to go into the transporter and they're like, come on, fast, we gotta run.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're immediately into the story, like, oh God, we gotta go. And then, when you walk.
And they ask if you're okay. Once you get, like, once they rescue you,
they're like,
is everyone okay? Yeah.
Right.
And you're just like, yeah, I think I'm okay.
I'm sure, okay. I'm a little shook up, but all right.
Yeah.
When you step onto the landing bay of the Star Destroyer, it is, what an experience. It is awe-inspiring. Yeah. The scale, it is as big as it looks like in those movies.
Yeah.
Super high ceiling. The whole, you know, in Star Wars, you see it out of space, and then there's a sort of a see-through, how do you describe it? Like, shield that keeps space from, you know, you've seen how things land in Star Wars. And it's, you see that, you see TIE fighters on the wall like they are in the movie. It's, you see a bunch of, they have animatronic stormtroopers and there's just a bunch of them standing there.
Yeah.
And you feel, and they know that it's awe-inspiring because they give you a second to look at it and take a picture. And then they're like, all right, keep moving, prisoner.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. It's just, it's
so good.
It's amazing. And then we get out of that, and then we go eat at Sci-Fi Diner. Dine-In.
Well, also, just before that, if you're worrying about, like, the drop like we were.
Yes, there's
really,
a drop.
It wasn't bad.
It's tiny.
You're basically, like, on an elevator. Were we even strapped in?
We didn't have a bar, but we had a seatbelt.
Okay, so that tells you.
It's little. It's little. But you know what? It's so immersive.
Right.
Because what happens in that moment is you're in an escape pod.
Right.
So when the escape pod...
Because you're going up. First you go up.
Right.
When the... I forget what happens. But first you go up to whatever.
Right. You go in an elevator up in the Star Destroyer.
Okay. Yeah, right. But then you have to get into an escape pod to go down.
So, like, you know, when the escape pod like unhinges right, from the Star right. Destroyer, you yeah. feel this
yeah, yeah.
drop. It's only for a short, like it's I'm not, very scared yeah. of drops, and it didn't. I survived it, little, it was fine.
Yeah.
I'd do it again.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so then we went to Sci-Fi Dine-In, which is outside of Galaxy's Edge. And that's a cool place. That's a place where it looks like you're in a drive-in movie theater. And yeah. in these cars are like the seats. And you go and you eat in the car and you watch cheesy sci-fi trailers yeah. on the screen. It was really fun and cool. I love when they make Inside Outside.
Yeah.
I love any, and they do this a lot in Disney, when it's you're inside, but they make the sky, they make the roof dark, and there's little twinkling lights.
Right.
I just, they're so magical to me. That was a really cool experience. At one point, I had a bit of a meltdown because I was just so tired and dehydrated and just felt yeah. sick. And I think it was we went to Toy Story Land and went on
Midway Mania.
Midway Mania, which I didn't like that much. It's kind of like a game thing.
Right.
I won. Whatever.
All right. Well, I was winning up until the like bonus round.
Right.
They called and by a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, you can't almost win.
All right.
What you're describing is called losing.
All right.
You lost. So, all right, all so okay.
All right.
But anyway, I was just like sick at this point. I had yeah. eaten my fat ass sick, and I was just like, and I hadn't gone to the bathroom, and I just felt like it was gonna explode, and it was just gross.
Yep.
And then we went on Smuggler's Run, which is the Millennium Falcon ride.
Smuggler's Run.
And that we actually waited online for that.
We did.
Yeah. It wasn't too
because
bad.
Because we had a fast pass. But it was like at like 9 or so. Yeah, it was like, and it was super late.
And I wanted to get the day over with.
Right.
And we had a couple hours to kill, and I just felt shitty, and I was like, let's just do this now.
Right.
Or you had the idea, let's just go now and...
Yeah, let's just try.
Yeah. So we did that.
It was a lot of fun.
You know, it was fun, but looking back, it's like, it's not the best ride.
Well, it's not a good ride because you're so...
It's like an arcade game, honestly.
Right.
It's too interactive.
Right, right. Like, and I don't want to say stressed out, but like I was a little stressed out.
I was stressed out because
yeah, you have to make sure you're pushing the right buttons, and like other people in the back are like I
we
waited.
Were the pilots.
Right, we were the pilots, and
it was
like,
our first time, but the people behind us who were super nice had done it before.
Right, and
so you feel like, am I giving them a shitty ride?
Right, but also like I was trying to take pictures real quick. Before it started,
right.
And the guy was like, you have to pull this down, you have to touch this. And I was like, oh, fuck, all right.
Yeah, and the cast member who explained our roles to us, I feel like didn't do a good enough job. Because
well, yeah.
when I got in there, I really didn't know what the fuck
yeah.
I was supposed to press.
Yeah, well, it lights up. But I mean, eventually you get the hang of it. But at first, you're just like, what the fuck do I do?
Know what it felt a lot like? If you remember the classic Back to the Future ride from Universal Studios, it feels more like that than it does mm-hmm. something like Star Tours. But imagine that ride. But imagine when you're in the DeLorean, you're actually piloting it.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like the coolest thing ever.
But it's work.
It's work. Yeah. And like you're actually like looking at the buttons instead of
yeah,
like,
more than looking out.
Maybe if you got like a bunch of tries at it and you could master it, it
right.
would be fun.
Right.
But it's not. And the story of it, the narrative of it, isn't that particularly interesting. I guess it's kind of inspired by the movie Solo, where you're following a train and you're trying to get the coaxium from the train. If you've ever seen the train sequence in Solo, it's kind of like that. But you're on the Falcon.
Yeah.
It kind of doesn't make a ton of sense why you're on the Falcon, because it's Hondo from the cartoons and like Chewbacca lends it to him. Whatever. It was.
But the cast member. Because we had to ask to be a pilot, because I don't think we were going to be.
Right.
And, I mean, Mike, you wouldn't know this, but, like, normally cast members are just like, oh, all
right. They hate it, right?
Yeah, like, it's the worst thing ever. But our cast member, like, we started off just like, hey, I'm sorry, like, we'll wait as long as we need to. And he's like, oh, you guys want to be pilots here? And he just handed us a card. And
he
it was
knew.
Like
he
2 seconds
sentence.
Later.
I was like, yeah, can we wait? He was like, you want to be pilots?
Yeah.
Okay, don't worry. Stand right here.
Yeah. Like, he was so nice about it. He was so friendly. He was smiling the whole time. We thought we were going to have to wait like 10 minutes or whatever, however long to do it. We were in the net. It was 2 minutes.
Yeah.
If even. Like,
and
they were just so nice.
But, you know, let me say, I think that's another failure of the ride.
Right.
There are 6 roles. 2 of the pilots. 2 are the engineers, which you just press random buttons.
Right.
And then 2 are the gunners, which doesn't make sense because there aren't the seen the movie, the gunners are in a totally different part of the Millennium Falcon. Right. And the pilot is so much cooler. You're sitting where Han and Chewbacca sit. Like, right. And also, you have much more control over the ride experience than everyone else.
Right.
So, which is why you're nervous, because you're like, if I'm being shitty, I'm not just being shitty. The poor sap who's sitting behind me as the engineer, he right. waited on this long line too, right. and now I'm fucking it up for him.
Right.
I think it's not a perfect... It's
a good idea.
Yeah, it's not executed well.
But I don't even know how to execute it better, because everyone wants to fly. I think
make it less
fly.
Interactive.
Yeah,
honestly,
I guess.
Just make it like you're sitting there. I don't know.
Then I think people will complain, because people want to fly the Falcon, and like that, it does give you a full flying the Falcon feel.
But don't...
It just doesn't give you like...
Make it a video game. Make it an arcade game.
Right.
Don't make it something that there's a ton of them, so there's no huge line.
That's true.
Don't make it like an e-ticket thing,
because
it does feel like a video game.
Right.
It really does. Honestly, the thing that the best part of it for me is you get to go through a pretty good set of the Millennium Falcon, and you feel like you're sitting in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
But even like you think, oh, I'm gonna sit in Han Solo's chair. It's gonna be so good. You don't even get a chance to feel that, because the minute you're in there, the ride's starting, and you're like, "Fuck, what do I press? What do I do? And you're working, and it's just like before you know it, it's over, and you're like, "I didn't even get to experience the fact that I was just sitting in Han Solo's chair."
Right.
So it was fun. It was all right. Then we went to Olga's Cantina.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. It could have been because I was super tired. It was the end of the day. But I didn't love that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I were a drinker, it would be fine. Even though you have a reservation, you wait online.
Yeah.
Then you go in. And because it was just me and Jen, we're just two people. So we didn't get a booth. We got a corner of the bar.
Right.
Like, here, stand here and order drinks. So, and you, by the way, you only have 40 minutes in because so many people want to go in. So it's like, do as much as you can do in 40 minutes. We had already eaten, so we didn't want to buy any of their snacks.
Right.
We were like, well, we haven't tried blue milk. We got blue milk. It's weird.
Yeah, I didn't like the aftertaste of it.
It's weird because it's like, and also it doesn't make sense because like you imagine blue milk probably tastes like milk in the world of Star Wars, but that's gross. So the blue milk at Galaxy's Edge is sort of like it's a fruity drink.
Right.
But it's also like has to look
thick.
Like milk.
Yeah, it's
so
thick.
It's like they put something in it to thicken it and make it more opaque.
Right.
It's weird.
It leaves a really weird like film in your mouth.
It's weird. And we didn't even stay the whole 40 minutes. We like drank our blue milk.
Barely. I didn't even finish mine.
And then I was just like, can we settle
up? Oh, and there was a cookie.
Yeah, there's a cookie on top. DJ Rex was there, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. Maybe if you were a drinker, I don't know.
We weren't as tired. We had it. Right. We went really hard the first two full days, Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. We did from rope drop basically to fireworks. We left right before the fireworks.
We did the whole fucking thing. Yeah.
At Galaxy's. Like, we saw them starting to set up the fireworks, and we were like, nope, we're out. And we had a really short line on the Skyliner.
Yeah. The last thing that we did, which was really kind of magical, and I don't know if this happens every night or if it was impromptu or what.
Oh, yeah.
It's dark, and it's nighttime now, and we're walking out. And there's a nice big section in front of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And we see a bunch of people with their lightsabers.
Yeah.
And
you see like the different colored ones.
Yeah.
And then the red.
Like on two different sides.
Right.
But, and then we walk up and we're like, we want to be a part of this, but we don't really know what it is even. And some fucking guy in front of us, I don't know what, he was like, oh, you came out of nowhere. I was like, we're in Disney. And he was like, I was like, what's going on? He was like, we got a lightsaber. Like, me and Jen could not figure out.
No.
Was this a planned event?
Right.
Was this all one group?
And I thought that there was something, because I'm short, so I thought that there was something happening in the middle, and the guy in front of me was, I don't know if you heard him, he was super nice. He was like, why don't you come in front? Like, we'll get you in front. And I was just like,
what's happening?
But in front of what?
Do I have to fight somebody?
Right, but what's
happening?
There was
no fighting happening.
There wasn't. Everyone was just holding up their lightsabers. Like, it was just a thing to join in.
It was cute.
But
it
everyone
was, fun.
Was so, well, I don't know if everyone, the guy that was right in front of me was so nice.
It was nice, because I was towards the back, and I've got a blue blade, and I'm sort of like in a pose like I'm going to fight this dude with a red blade.
Yeah.
And me and him are just looking at each other, and I forget what I asked him, but he's like, I don't know what this is either. And yeah. It was just like, we're just doing this. I don't know if anyone was filming it.
I think there were pictures being taken because I follow someone who like is really big, like Star Wars. Like he takes Star Wars pictures like in the parks and he works there. He works in Galaxy's Edge. And he posted it on his story, which like, that would have been a really other cool meet, but whatever. but he was there somewhere in that crowd with us. But also, like, he posted picture of, like, the whole thing.
It's really beautiful because you're, you're in front of a one-to-one scale model of the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
And you're in Galaxy's Edge. But it's night, and then you've got all these lightsabers illuminating the space. And it's really, it was really kind of pretty.
And everyone's working together because at one point everyone put their lightsabers in.
Right.
And then they pulled them back out. And then everyone posed for like a fight.
That must be something that happens because I don't know if you heard this. Somebody somebody said light the torch. Oh. And that's when everyone put their lightsabers together in the middle.
Wow, so I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so it's like, what does that even mean? It was just like a real fandom moment of like,
that
we all
sense.
Are nerds who love this shit.
They do stuff like that in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, like with wands and stuff.
That makes sense.
Like people just get together and just, you know, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, wow.
It was nice. And that was basically the end of that day.
And then we went on the Skyliner.
Yes. Disney has a new Skyliner, these gondolas, kind of like you'd see like at a ski resort. Mm-hmm. And at first, I didn't want to go on them because they were super high. And I was like, I'm scared.
Yeah.
But we've gone on a bunch of times now, and it's like, it gets you home so much quicker than the stupid buses.
Especially.
And they're nice. It's fun.
Right. Especially from our resort to Hollywood Studios because it's a little bit closer than Epcot. But first of all, we beat the crowd out before the fireworks. Yes. So as we were leaving, the fireworks are going off while we're in the gondola. So that's beautiful.
Right.
That was our first experience in
there. Right, right.
Yeah.
And you go over this little man-made lake, and it's really nice. And it's cool to be part of something new because they're kind of like really new.
Right.
Because like even in the shops, they're like Skyliner t-shirts and stuff. It's like a new thing that's like changed the experience of the park. So that was really fun. And that was Hollywood Studio and Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
This has been PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today with Jen Littrell.
Hi.
You can listen to PCMC anywhere podcasts are available. Anywhere. Where if you listen to podcasts, wherever you get that one, you can listen to this one. You can follow us at Pop Culture Man Children on Instagram or at PCMC Pod on Twitter. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.